Hey, good to be back, man. I tell you what, you sold me on those promos. Good stuff.
That's what we do in this business, you know that.
What was it like for you to be back in Hinkle Fieldhouse? Because I don't think people realize at one point you were the play-by-play guy for Butler.
It was awesome. I mean, that was, you know, getting that job because I went to school there. I called games there from 2011 to 13. So my first year was the second Final Four run that Butler had when they lost to Connecticut. And I thought, you know, when I got that job, everybody joked because they had just lost to Duke. And everyone said, oh, man, it's too bad you missed the run to the Final Four, but still, it's a neat gig. Congratulations. And then lo and behold, of course, Brad Stevens and company would go back a second time. Ironically, the assistant coach with me there for those three seasons was Micah. Your new head coach, Micah Shrewsbury. Yeah.
Yep.
So, but to answer your question, when Westwood won, was doling out the tournament assignments, the guy there, Howie Dinneroff, called and he said, hey, before I give anybody any assignments, would you like to do the games at Hinkle? And I said, well, you know, is the Pope Catholic? Yeah, I'd love to do the games at Hinkle. So, no, it was incredibly cool. And even though it wasn't a packed house, just to have fans there, as you know, Steve, after a year with no fans was really special.
Yeah, I've done one game in Hinkle. It is special. Very special. I do have to ask you, you did bring up Micah Shrewsbury. You saw him and knew him in when he was cutting his teeth in this business, working with Brad Stevens. What was your initial thought about him and then him getting the Penn State job?
I'm just extremely excited for him. I think it's a great hire. I loved him from the moment I met him because what I think people that don't know Shrews behind closed doors, what they don't realize is he's one of the funniest guys you'll ever be around. And
yeah,
he knows how to turn on the coach face and be very professional. He's great at that. But, man, Steve, once you get to know him well, like, he will say some of the most sarcastic, funny things you've ever heard, and he'll have the whole team rolling and laughing. So he, for us, you know, Brad Stevens was always so buttoned up, and Micah Shrewsbury was like the comedic relief on all of the road trips. Everybody loved him. The players loved him. The staff loved him. You never heard a bad word about him. There's no ego. And on top of all that, Brad relied on him and the Ohio State assistant, Terry Johnson, extremely, extremely great at X's and O's. Brad relied on them very heavily. So I wanted him to get a head job. Now I want Terry Johnson, Chris Holtman's assistant at Ohio State, to get a head job. Yep. But he's very deserving.
That is, that's really cool because I've had a couple of chances to talk to him now. I can see exactly what you're talking about. I thought, as I was on Sirius earlier today, and they asked me about it, and I said, look, I think it was an inspired hire by Penn State. So, all right, the road begins. A colleague of ours unfortunately passed away during the tournament, and that's Joe Boylan. If anybody knew Joe Boylan, which you and I, of course, did, there couldn't have been a nicer guy on the planet who knew a lot about his basketball, but just a nice, you can't say enough good things about him.
No, and, you know, it caught me off guard because this season, with how we were all spread out, you know, I mean, you and I didn't see each other. You just didn't see people, right? So I was not aware that Joe's health was in question. And so
me too.
I actually found out from a text message and then hopped on Twitter and saw that it was true. And, yeah, that one rocked me a little bit because over the last couple of years, every time that I was assigned a Rutgers game, which was pretty frequently, Joe, he's the first guy to come up to you with a huge smile.
Yep.
And talk to you about ball, and he would make you laugh. He had so yep. many great stories from his days in the business and now as a broadcaster. He knew everybody. And, yep. you know, guys like that, for you and I to pick up stories and just listen, it's invaluable. And I appreciated his friendship and his relationship, and now to have him gone and to not be able to see him anymore in the future at those games, it's going to be tough.
Well said. Well said, because you and I think the world of him. All right. So you had a chance to really get a good look at the field. Who's the best team you thought you saw when you were in Indianapolis with these guys?
Yeah, I think Gonzaga. I actually didn't work their game. I just went to watch their game at Hinkle Fieldhouse on my off day. And they're just, you know, I mean, their offense, it's the most efficient in the country. And it's like they never really make a mistake. And they've got, might be cliche to say, but they've got all the pieces that you need. And I think Baylor does too. Clearly, they're the two best teams. They've been the two best teams all year long. So I'm glad they made it to this stage. But I think Gonzaga is a little cut above with how efficient that offense is and how well Drew Timmy is playing. I think he scored 75 points in the last three combined. So with how they can run that offense, I'd be surprised if they lost. Certainly they can. We see everything happen in this tournament. But Gonzaga, to me, I don't know how you feel, Steve, but I feel like they're the team to beat.
Oh, I'm in complete agreement because, number one, I think they're good enough defensively. And offensively, Brandon, I haven't seen a team this year that moves the ball the way they do. They are an excellent passing team to me. It doesn't seem to care who scores. Is that fair?
Yep. Yep, that's absolutely right. And, you know, to do what they've been able to do on offense at the tempo that they play, they're sixth in the nation, KenPom and tempo. So you figure they're going to put up some points. But like you're saying, with the way that they share the ball with that pace is really, really impressive. And then when you've got a guy like Kispert who shoots it at 46% from three, a Jalen Suggs who can just do it all running the show, again, there's really no weakness. Now, UCLA is totally opposite. I mean, UCLA in tempo is one of the bottom 20 teams in the country.
Right.
And their hope in winning this, obviously, is to limit possessions, muck it up a little bit, and maybe they're only down 5-7 late and they hit a couple shots and somehow they steal it. But I just think Gonzaga's too darn good to let that happen. But we'll see. You know, I also didn't think UCLA was going to get past Michigan. And I think their game plan was fantastic, and they found a way to win that. So who knows?
Yeah, one thing that, you know, because you and I have done enough Wisconsin games in the course of our careers, that when Wisconsin gets up on you, just say it's 6 points, it feels like 12 because of the pace.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, it is. There are certain teams that are harder to come back on. And Wisconsin, they kind of, I think, they lead the pack in that category. Because you're right. If it's 56-49 with 3 minutes left, it feels like it's 66-49 with three minutes left.
Exactly.
So if UCLA could get some type of a lead late, I still think Gonzaga's firepower will be able to overcome that. But the X factor for me for UCLA, because I had two of their games in the tournament, a lot of people talk about Ju Zhang and Jaime Jaquez, and obviously they're very good players. We've come to know them nationally through this tournament. They can score it. But they've got a big guy down low named Cody Riley. And he doesn't jump off the sheet at you with 20 and 10, but he's the glue guy. And as cliche as that phrase is, but Mick Cronin in our Zoom call a couple of weeks ago was just saying that Cody Riley doesn't get enough attention. He helps us out. He sets the table defensively underneath. He anchors us underneath the goal offensively. And if we work through him, that's typically when we're at our best. So I say that because he has a tendency to pick up early fouls. If Cody Riley picks up too early or if he's limited by Gonzaga, I really think this becomes an uphill climb for the Bruins. But if Cody Riley can stay in the game, and he can really make his presence felt on the defensive side of the ball without picking up fouls, UCLA can make it interesting. Heck, they were down 17 to Michigan State in the final, the first four, and I had them dead to rights. So I guess maybe don't count the Bruins out just yet.
Yeah, they're like, going back to Wisconsin, it's like the running football team. You mentioned they're down 17. You don't think they're going to come from behind. UCLA did in the Michigan State game. But normally a team that plays at that kind of pace, they need to play either in the neighborhood or with the lead. And with Gonzaga, they can bury you in a hurry. The other one's Baylor-Houston. Again, contrasting styles. Houston's not the greatest offensive team on the planet. But, man, they play some really good defense. Baylor came back from COVID. Didn't quite seem the same. Now they look like the team that played in December. What's your thought on that game?
Yeah, and obviously Baylor shoots it so well. I mean, they're over 40%, yeah, which I think is still the best mark in the country. But, yeah, Houston, their field goal percentage defense does lead the nation. So it is two totally different styles. But I think what Houston wants to do is wreak havoc with your guards around the perimeter. And I think Baylor is kind of, they're the anecdote. I think they're built to go against this Houston defense. I'm not saying that Houston won't give them problems. They will, but if you look at the teams that Houston has really feasted on this year, it's when you maybe have a weak link around the perimeter or a relative weak link. And with Butler, Teague, and Mitchell for Baylor, they don't really have that. So I think two of those guys are going to have an off night for Houston to win this game. I think that I would give Houston a little bit of a better shot at knocking off Baylor than I would give UCLA Gonzaga. But I still see this as probably, call it, you know, like an 8 to 10 point game most of the way, that Baylor just hits free throws down the stretch and wins. Unless Houston, like I said, if they can get Butler, Teague, and Mitchell, I think they need two of those guys to start to turn the ball over and miss some shots. It's just something that they don't do very often. If Houston can get that done, then they've got a chance here.
Still have Madden on the docket? Is that still part of what you're going to do?
Yeah, actually, it's funny, Steve. I just, from noon to three, I just finished a little bit ago. So, well, which it's funny because I used to have to go down to Orlando every week to do it, but with the pandemic, now we do it from home. So the microphone and the soundproofing panels and all the equipment sits at the foot of my bed. So I go from my bed, slip on my robe and slippers, and slide right into the recording chair.
Oh, just the image anybody who buys the game wants to hear.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sound you hear is the sales declining right now for Madden. So.
What's that experience been like, and how do you go about doing it? Because it is remarkable. I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and, no offense, I don't buy the game because it's not quite, but my kids buy it. So how do you go about doing that?
It's been different. I don't play the game either. And the only time I've played it, honestly, is with my nephew, who's 11, and yeah. I've lost every time to him. It's kind of embarrassing. There's so many buttons on the remote control that I just get confused. But, so the interesting thing to me, Steve, though, is I thought it might be a little bit more like calling a game. It's actually more just like being a voice actor. And right. you're mainly reading a script, but the harder part to me is that they record everything in fragments and then they stitch it all together. So when you hear the game, it's not like one play is one fluid sentence. It is six different lines that we recorded probably on six different days, maybe even six different months, that then they try to stitch together to make it sound fluid. And so naturally when you do it that way, and that's the only way they can do it because it's a video game, but when you do it that way, it sounds a little bit more robotic, and it also tends to sound more repetitive. So when I hear it, when I play with my nephew, I hate the sound of it because, to me, it doesn't sound like the way you and I sound when we call games. It sounds exactly. like a robot. But all that to say, and I mean what I'm about to say next, like if you would have told me 10 years ago I would have had that opportunity, I just wouldn't have known, A, how it would happen, and, B, how could I have done it, et cetera. And now to be able to be 6 years into it, I just feel incredibly honored because it is such it's a neat project, it's a cool game, and I've had an absolute blast with it through the ups and downs.
Well, I've always been happy for you that you did it. I think it's great that you do it. So, and believe me, there are a lot of people like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know who Brandon is. Yeah, he's on the game. Well, what about the other stuff he does? No, he's on the game.
It undoubtedly is the coolest thing in my bag because that's really all the people want to talk about, especially the kids, like the friends of my nieces and nephews. Nobody cares that, you know, I did the basketball game the other night. They just want to yell at me because I yelled at them when they went for two when they should have kicked the extra point and missed. So In fact, I should refrain from saying that they think it's cool. I mainly just get people that are angry at something that I said and why I said it in this situation. And I want to tell them, you know, I'm sorry. When you were playing last night, I was in the movie theater just watching a movie. Like, I had nothing to do with what went on in your make-believe game there. So,
well, in what we do, colleague to colleague, you're awesome at that, too. So I appreciate appreciate you very much, my friend. Have a great weekend, and it's always great catching up with you. Thank you so much, Brandon.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, Steve. And like I said, please pass along a hello to Micah, and I'll look forward to catching up with you soon here again.